Well, I am here today with KGVM Community Radio 95.9 FM and Brady Wiseman for a conversation. We are down here at the KGVM radio studio, our broadcast studio. So welcome, Brady.
Thank you.
This is an educational session focused on what is now called the Montana Plan, and Brady knows a lot about it. I am Monica. A quick reminder to you listeners that the voices and views and opinions of the speaker on this program represent the speaker and do not represent KGVM 95.9 Bozeman.
That's right. I speak for me, not for you.
Yes, and we won't be having any calls to action, so
we have to stay within our rules. KGVM is a nonprofit, and we're going to be talking about something that's inherently political. And to keep the nonprofit side of the house happy, we get to talk about what it is and how it works and everything about it, up to but not including asking anyone to do anything. So we're here to talk about campaign finance and corruption in our government, and how it all works, and what it's done to us as a state, as a people, and what one organization in the state is proposing to do about it.
Right.
Which is the organization I'm working with, called the Montana Plan.
Look up the Montana Plan.
So we have several websites, and the effort has several names, so it's kind of confusing.
Okay.
The easiest one to remember, everybody is able to remember Montana Plan because that's pretty distinctive.
Yeah.
So montanaplan.org is the primary website. There's another website called transparentelectioninitiative.org, which is more nationally leaning. So Monica, how about if I just rewind a little bit and explain the very basics of what we're doing, what's happening, and who's doing it. The problem that we're attacking is we think everyone in the country can agree that we have far too much corruption in our government, and particularly in our election campaigns. There are many
symptoms,
things going wrong in this country.
Yeah.
And my personal opinion is that the vast majority of them can be attributed to the out-of-control spending in our election campaigns, which is oriented at and very successful at dividing us against each other and
attacking,
getting us to attack each other and ignoring the real root of the problem, which is that we have this increasing inequality. More and more wealth is being hoovered into fewer and fewer hands. So we now have this housing crisis, not just in our community, but nationwide. We have an employment crisis. We have childcare, healthcare, right down the line. People can't afford to live. All of this is due to policies that have been set within the government for many decades, in my view, going back to 1981, when Ronald Reagan was elected. That's when you can map the beginning of this whole movement. At that time, the level of inequality was very low in the United States. It was the period of most equality income-wise in the history of the country. And that has been very purposefully changed. And a lot of that comes down to decisions made by elected officials. So the question becomes who gets elected. And we've seen now more and more money getting spent on election campaigns. And in the past 15 years, since the Citizens United decision from the Supreme Court opened the floodgates, we've seen the amount of money being spent in elections going up by factors of 10 or more. And that's certainly true in Montana as well. And now it's getting to the point where it's blatantly, openly, in-your-face corrupt. So we're responding in Montana as we have in our history going back over 100 years, 125 years. The state of Montana has a peculiar relationship with fighting corruption. that some of our neighboring states don't have, in that we have done it and succeeded at fighting corruption in our state. We have no doubt many people listening who are new to Montana and don't know this history. It is still taught in the schools, so school kids in Montana learn it. But we have a whole bunch of new people here in our community of Bozeman, and statewide, 10% of the state has been here less than 5 years.
Yeah.
So this history goes back a long way, and to the founding of this state by the influx of Anglo culture for the purpose of mining. And long story there, we'll talk a little bit about that as we go. The current effort that we're doing right now is to propose a ballot initiative to put a new law on the books. For our listeners who are from particularly back east, they don't have the power of initiative.
The citizen-led ballot initiative.
Exactly. So we have the power.
A lot of states out east don't, you said.
Correct.
Really?
It's really a Western thing. It's a power. Remember, in this state, all the power comes from the people. And we reserved that power to ourselves in our Constitution, that we get to propose, the citizens get to propose laws, and we then have to gather a lot of signatures from registered voters to qualify that initiative to be on the ballot. And then it appears on the ballot, and we all get to vote on it.
Yeah.
And the governor, the legislature doesn't, is not involved, and the governor is not involved. So the governor cannot veto this. If we pass it, it's the law.
Right.
So that's a very powerful thing. And that's the exact mechanism that we have used in Montana going back over 100 years to fight corruption, is citizen-powered initiatives to put new laws on the books that our legislature cannot or will not because they're corrupted. And the people serving are the result of the money being spent. So they are not going to solve this for us. And mm-hmm. But we have the power and the history to do this. So that's what the Transparent Election Initiative organization is doing, also known as the Montana Plan.
Right, the Montana Plan.
So let me just address that real quickly.
Yeah, we're here with Brady Wiseman from the Montana Plan.
MontanaPlan.org. So the Transparent Election Initiative is not just a Montana thing. It's a national movement that's been underway for about a year and a half. And about a year ago, a prominent fellow in Montana heard about it. And he's born and raised, knows our history, and said Montana is the perfect place to do this. So here's what the Transparent Election Initiative will do. And that it goes back to what happened with the Citizens United case and the Supreme Court giving corporations more and more power. Mm-hmm. So the Transparent Election Initiative rewinds everything back to first principles. What is a corporation? And how do they get their powers and their privileges? How do they get that? And the answer is that a corporation is in most cases, an association of investors who apply to a state, any state government, for what is called a corporate charter. Each state has the power, complete power, to regulate what corporations are, what they may or may not do, how long they might live, everything about them. Each individual state has that power. That is settled law going back to 1820 in this country. So very early in the Republic, the Supreme Court made it very clear that state governments have complete power over what corporations are. And remember, the founders of this country hated corporations
mm-hmm.
because the American Revolution was not just a revolution against the British government. It was a revolt against the British East India Company, which was the world's first multinational corporation. So our revolution, the American Revolution, was an anti-corporate revolution. We've lost that history, but that's what the Boston Tea Party was all about.
No monopolies, like
well, and no corruption. The Tea Party, the Boston Tea Party case, is a good example of that. So a British East India Company was very influential in the British Parliament. Half of the members were stockholders. King George was a stockholder in the British East India Company, so they could get what they wanted out of the Parliament in terms of laws. And they were a purveyor of tea, because that's what they brought from India. And they wound up with a huge overstock of tea in their warehouses in Britain. And so they organized a special law just for them to lower their taxes on their tea. And that tea came to the United States, to Boston. And the local merchants in Boston were being underpriced because they had to pay the tax. And the East India Company didn't. And they regarded that as completely unfair, deeply corrupt. So they raided the ships and threw the tea in the harbor.
And,
Now, we're not promoting the Montana Plan is not about any kind of violence or uprising, because we have the power within our Constitution to deal with this within the system, but in a way that makes the people who run the system very uncomfortable. So all good, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So the what the Montana Plan does is revise how corporate charters are constructed. And so it's a law that will revise how corporate charters are constructed in Montana. And it clearly says for the first time anywhere that corporations are not persons. They are artificial entities created by law, which is true. That's and that the state retains retains the right to circumscribe what corporations may do, to define what privileges they may have. Currently, every state, every corporate charter is the same. They basically say corporations can do anything that's legal. And this is different than rewinding back to the Revolution. The founders did not allow corporations. In the 1790s, under the new Constitution, early 1800s, there were no corporations operating in the United States. And the very first ones that started being chartered were subject to intensive debates in state legislatures about what their charter would say, what powers they would have, and so forth. And almost all of the early corporations were chartered for a public purpose. A really good example is the Erie Canal Company in New York State. It was a private corporation that was raised to create the money, to invest the money, to dig a canal across New York State to connect the Hudson River with the Great Lakes. And that was a transportation canal considered a public benefit, public purpose. And that company was only allowed to be in business for 10 years. And then they had to come back to the New York legislature and get their charter renewed.
Okay.
So after the Civil War, there was kind of a race to the bottom because corporations became much more powerful through the war, which is typical in how our economy works. And we wound up with a situation where every state allows every corporation to do anything that's legal. And it's typically very easy to get a corporate charter. I know, because I've done it. And anybody in the world can get a charter for a Montana corporation in about 10 minutes online. And I know because I've done it.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do.
What corporation were you
chartering? I have done several LLCs for small businesses.
Yeah.
That's a limited liability company, which is a kind of corporation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So but there are other kinds of corporations that are not owned by investors. So there's nonprofit corporations that they are incorporated by a group of people called the incorporators, but they don't invest and nobody actually owns it, which is a very peculiar thing. Like the studio we're sitting in here belongs to an entity called KGVM, which is a nonprofit. Nobody owns KGVM.
Right.
But it's a public interest operation.
Right.
So it has a corporate charter to do what it does.
Yeah.
And which is good. So because and this is not to slam corporations. In general, we have a great deal of benefits in our lives from the fact that corporations exist.
Sure.
But there is a point I learned when I worked in banks in New York City, money never sleeps.
Yeah.
And we have to be constantly vigilant that the money powers inevitably, it's a matter of simple human nature, they inevitably will grasp for more and more and more.
Yeah.
And we have to draw the line somewhere. So what the Montana plan, the Transparent Election Initiative, does is revise the language for corporate charters and say, in essence, the corporation may conduct its affairs to do anything that's legal except give money to election campaigns. And that's how we get around Citizens United.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so profound. But it was this business about corporate charters has been forgotten for decades, even by legal scholars who should know better.
So we had a citizen-led ballot initiative here in Bozeman.
Mm-hmm.
We had what was called a water adequacy for residential development.
Right. So let's talk about that initiative. Yes, yeah, the word initiative. Here's the peculiar thing about Montana initiatives. It's not just at the state level. We have the power to have an initiative at the municipal level, which means we, the people, can put a municipal ordinance on the ballot, which is what the ward people did. And we can also do it at the county level. It's very rare. It was some pretty knowledgeable people that came up with the ward initiative, because most people have no idea that you have the initiative power within municipalities in Montana and counties. But we do. And to answer your question, if the Montana plan had been in place during that election, the spending would have looked a lot different. However, maybe not as different as you think, because the organizations that you mentioned, I don't know if those corporations were writing checks. They may very well have been, would have been cut off. But remember, those are local membership organizations. And what they could easily do, and what we expect local organizations to do, is to rally their members and say, the individuals, the humans that are members, they can still write checks from their personal bank accounts. The Montana plan does not cut off all spending. And it does not eliminate any rights from any person. Individuals can still contribute money to campaigns.
Yeah.
And but they're, when they do that, they're subject to our laws, and they have to. We have very strict campaign finance reporting in Montana. Anybody that gives money to a campaign for a public office or a ballot initiative is going to have to tell us who they are and where they live.
Yeah.
What the whole effort here is to cut off the money laundering that produces the dark money.
Yeah.
So let me describe how that works, because it's kind of mysterious, and describe why Citizens United made it worse. The concept is that various people who are extremely wealthy want to fund various political campaigns, but they don't want their names on it, because some of what they do is really nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get their way, they engage in some really nasty, really divisive stuff. Some of it is outright false. They tell lies. The way they do that is the billionaire, millionaire, very wealthy person will write a check to a corporation that's a specific kind of nonprofit.
Sure.
And that can give money to campaigns. So let's talk about that real quick, just a quick side note. So in the nonprofit world, most of our listeners will have heard about an IRS tax designation called 501c3, which is probably what KGVM has as a nonprofit.
Yep.
And that means that they can take donations from people, and the givers of those can take a tax deduction for it. That's what helps promote this. The trade-off is that 501c3 cannot engage in political advocacy,
exactly,
which is why we set the ground rules at the beginning
today
of this talk that we're not going to...
Education, not advocacy.
Yes, we can educate but not advocate.
Right.
So, fine. A 501c4 is a different kind of IRS tax designation that those nonprofit companies can give money to campaigns. But I think on the front end, it's not deductible for who gives it. But the point is, the very wealthy person writes a fat check to a 501c3 with an innocuous name like Americans for a Better America.
Yeah.
And that firm then funds the nasty campaigns, the commercials, the mailers, all the hundreds of millions of dollars of stuff that we get launched at us.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, all of it meant to divide us against ourselves,
yeah.
to get us to hate each other and not think about the person that wrote that big check who wants us divided against ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So in essence, that rich person writing a check, their name disappears from the money. And that is the operative yeah. definition of money laundering, which yeah. is a transaction meant to obscure the origin of the money.
So what's the purpose of a 501c4?
To engage in political education.
Oh.
And so you see, you've seen a lot of these ads
that okay.
instead of saying vote for candidate X or candidate Z, they say candidate, this person has done great things, call them and tell them how great they've done. Or this other candidate is doing terrible things, call them and tell them how terribly they've done.
Oh.
Those ads are 501c4 ads.
Okay.
Right? But they don't say to vote against one or the other, but they're painting a picture that this person is an
yeah.
angel and that person is a spawn of the devil.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's this propaganda game that they're playing. And so in Montana, the amount of spending since Citizens United in our campaigns and our big campaigns, like for senator, governor, whatnot, has expanded by a factor of 10. And John Tester is one of the supporters of the Montana campaign, former senator, Democrat. Another major proponent is former Governor Mark Roscoe, who was a governor in the 90s, very Republican. So our effort is not partisan. We're not from the blue or the red team. Because everybody has an interest in stopping the corruption.
Yeah.
Except for the few people that benefit from the corruption.
Right.
Which is...
if you think about it, too.
Certain number of politicians who go with the money and do what the money wants. And that's why we get all these terrible policies that we don't want. Because the money being spent in these campaigns essentially buys our politicians.
We're all seeing some of the symptoms of corruption.
Oh, they're everywhere.
And also some of the symptoms of, like you said, it's a tipping point. So there's tipping points, there's symptoms.
Yes.
Why now?
Well, my view is that this is our last best chance. We have, the organizers, I'm one of the organizers, we have a campaign going on now. We're recording this on May 2nd. Our deadline to raise 40,000 signatures is June 19th,
okay.
which is 7 weeks from now. We're halfway there,
right?
As we sit right now, we're halfway there. And more and more people are signing on. As we solicit signatures from people, we're hearing more and more people that they don't ask, what is the Montana plan? They say, oh yeah, I know what that is. And then education, like we're doing now, help spread the word so that people know what we're doing.
Right.
And the essence is that by doing this, if the people choose to pass this initiative, what it means is that all the corporate money being spent in Montana elections will stop, which was our law for 100 years. Well, this is not new. We had this law, so that brings us to our Montana history.
Yeah.
You know, our peculiar reason as to why this matters here more than it matters in other places.
Mm-hmm.
So all Montanans are familiar with the Copper Kings. New Montanans are less familiar with them, how it all worked out in Butte in the 1780s and 90s. Huge wealth being created and a few people at the top of a few companies warring with each other. Those people, men, were called the Copper Kings. A lot of history there, but the culmination of it was in the late 1890s, one of those copper kings sold out. William A. Clark had the bigger company, and he sold what was Anaconda Copper Company to the New York, the Wall Street Copper Trust Syndicate. And that became Anaconda Copper Mining, which is the company we knew for nearly 100 years. So W.A. Clark was the equivalent of what is now a billionaire. Hundreds of millions of dollars he made pulling copper out of the mountain in Butte. Right. And he decided he wanted to be a United States senator. So in those days, in the origin of the Republic, the people did not choose their U.S. senators. State legislatures did. That's in the original wording of the Constitution. U.S. senators were selected by state legislatures, which turned into an entirely corrupt thing. And in Montana, in 1900, it was so corrupt, this guy was spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, literally, on out-and-out bribes to state legislators, to the point where they were literally throwing bags of money over the transoms of rooming house doors in the Helena rooming houses where the legislators lived, literally throwing money into the room. And it was notorious. It was outrageous. It was open. It was blatant. And he won. But then when he went to Washington, the U.S. Senate refused to seat him because it was so blatantly corrupt. And long story short, that episode led to the amendment to the Constitution that said, no, we the people are going to elect our senators, not the legislators.
Okay.
We got public election of U.S. senators because of a scandal that happened in Montana. That's part of our history.
Wow.
Yes.
Don't forget your history. It's like that's right where we're at right now.
Well, I've always felt that if your history is a mystery, you will be led by the nose.
Yeah.
Because if you don't things are the way they are because of what happened in the past. And if you don't have some sense of what that motion and movement has been, then everything looks like chaos and you don't have a sense of where things are going. However, I think a lot of people agree that the way things are going right now, not good. Remember, this country was founded in the perfidy of slavery, and we've had to fight that back. And just this week, we had another disastrous Supreme Court decision that's going to result in a whole lot of African Americans and Latino Americans in the American South getting disenfranchised. That's underway right now. And those Supreme Court justices are in place because of the money that gets spent on our campaigns and a long trail through the U.S. Senate of who gets approved and who doesn't, and a lot of chicanery about controlling the Supreme Court to get the result that they're getting now. So rewinding a little bit, we can't fix all those problems today. The groundwork is to start by resetting how elections happen. Mm-hmm. And we start getting people elected to represent us who do represent us and not the people who are writing the $1 million checks.
Right.
Here's an example. Not so long ago in Montana, you didn't have to work very hard to meet the governor and your U.S. senators.
Yeah.
It was not
to
hard
see
to do.
See them face to face.
They needed to meet us. Not so long ago, you would have a candidate sitting right on the stool where I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
But now you only get to meet our governor and our U.S. senators by invitation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way you get that invitation is by writing a check.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally. That is not an exaggeration. Check. Well, they vary. You get varying
regular
amounts
checks.
Of FaceTime.
Yeah, right.
But yes,
meeting
our top officials now is by invitation only. They don't do town halls. They don't meet people. They don't meet regular people. They everything is curated for them about who gets to talk to them about what. That's the result of the money getting spent in our elections. Mm-hmm. So the Montana plan is meant to roll back things. Let's go back to that history again. So after 1900, the corruption in Montana was notorious nationwide. Roll forward a few years from 1900 to 1903, the Anaconda Copper Company, controlled by the Copper Trust in New York City, was very unhappy with various aspects of Montana state government. So they shut down the state. They were a huge company. They controlled all, they owned the mines. They owned the timber companies because the timber was cut to go into the mines. They owned various railroads. They owned all the newspapers. They owned just a large number of companies across the state, and they shut them all down.
Yeah.
And brought the state to a standstill until they got what they wanted, and they did. They bullied the governor into calling a special session and passing specific laws that they wanted passed. Wow. And that was a notorious episode in which the rest of the country recognized that Montana was an economic colony controlled by a company. And that was true.
Wow.
For a while.
Wow. Monopoly.
Yeah. 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 So at that time, the people of the state started to get very unhappy about this, the control of this company over our politicians. And they started a campaign to pass a law that became known as the Corrupt Practices Act, which they passed in 1912. So after that episode in 1903 and the previous 1900, took them a decade, and they had to fight first to get the power of initiative, because wasn't in the constitution of the state at the time. So that was the first battle to get that. And then they came up with an initiative, like the Montana Plan is doing, for the voters to put a law on the ballot. And that was called the Corrupt Practices Act. Yep, and the corruption was corporations writing checks to politicians.
Yeah.
And that was banned. So for 100 years in this state, corporations could not give money to campaigns. That was our basic law for 100 years. And that it was what got thrown out for us by Citizens United. And it took a special case.
Wow.
Because that law was on our books. And maybe now is the time to talk about what Citizens United actually is.
Yeah, definitely. Now, a quick question before we delve into Citizens United and a little more history there.
Yep.
Am I wrong to think Montana Plan has anything to do with lobbying? Is that kind of just a separate kind of
that
way
is.
That politicians get turned corrupt?
And now it's time for me to make a true confession, Monica.
Yeah.
I'm a recovering politician. 20 years ago, I represented Bozeman in the legislature. That's why I'm well informed about a lot of these matters. I ran my own election. I was involved in some other elections for a number of years afterwards. And I worked on election law.
Okay.
One of the bills that I passed was to ban touchscreen voting machines in our elections. And that's why we vote on paper ballots in Montana. We've never had those touchscreen machines.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That was a little known thing that I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
That I was able to do that. To answer your question, lobbying is not electioneering.
Okay. Right.
So election campaigns are about us electing our representatives to represent us in government. And passing ballot issues, laws that are actually on the ballot that we want to vote up or down. Lobbying is what happens between elections. So when the legislature actually meets, the election's over, the officials are elected. Lobbying means advocating to those people for specific laws.
Yeah.
Or
so
bills
the Montana
or regulations.
Plan isn't
doesn't
really
touch
delving
that.
Anything.
It has nothing
lobbying.
To do with that.
Right. Okay.
This is
it's
only
just
about
another,
elections.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I will tell you, we do have very good, relatively good disclosure laws in Montana about lobbying.
Okay.
Lobbyists have to report who they represent. They have to report everything they spend. And the really interesting thing in the Montana Capitol, if you go up there, everybody wears a name badge. It's a peculiar Montana tradition. So all the legislators have a blue badge that says Senator this or Representative that. But all the lobbyists also wear a name tag with their name and their organization.
That's great.
And it's so wonderful that this tradition means that for less than $5, every lobbyist is identified.
Yeah.
They identify themselves.
Yeah.
So when you go to the Capitol in Washington, it's just a bunch of people walking around in suits.
Oh, wow.
And you don't know who's who.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, scary, huh? So life is a little better in the provinces.
Yeah.
In that particular way.
Brady, we're here with Brady Wiseman, an organizer for the Montana Plan. So our constitution in the state of Montana, what's going to happen in 2030? And can you riff a little bit on that before we...
Yes. Okay. So part of our constitution, and let's just talk about the constitution. The constitution we have was enacted in 1972 as a result of another 50 years of corruption. After the passing the Corrupt Practices Act in 1912, things went along, and as they do, they just steadily get worse. And by the time that we went through the 1960s, we had once again reached a lot of corruption at all levels of Montana government, and a whole bunch of people decided we got to stop that. So they came up with this brilliant plan to create, have a constitutional convention, and they had one stupendous rule, which is that no elected officials could run. So no sitting legislators could be members of the Constitutional Convention. So, and they came up with this brilliant document that is a guide around the world to, especially to new republics, when new countries are breaking out in Africa and Europe and places. Our constitution is one of the ones they study.
It's the Montana Constitution is very exemplary.
Yes, it is. It has a lot of great provisions. We have the right to privacy written down in black and white. Very few other states have that,
right.
Just as one example. And so that constitution was written, and one of the provisions that it has is for periodic review.
Periodic
review of the constitution itself, and it allows for I'm a little fuzzy on the exact details. It allows for, I think, the legislature to put a question on the ballot to the people to ask if they want to reconvene a constitutional convention to consider changes to the Constitution. So that next time that comes up is in 2030, and they cannot, the current elected officials cannot force a constitutional convention.
Right.
They have to ask us.
Yeah, and so we have a choice whether we want to leave it the way it is.
Or convene a convention, which would be wide open.
Yeah.
All kinds of mischief and chicanery.
Right.
So, yeah.
So the Montana Plan is a citizen-led ballot initiative.
Correct. What we're going to do is put a proposed law on the ballot. We have a law. It's written. That's our proposal. Its official name in the state is Initiative 194. And when our listeners are confronted by somebody in a green hat that says "End Dark Money" with a clipboard, that's what they're being asked to sign. And that is a law that's written and approved, been through a serious process to make sure it's constitutional and so forth. And when enough signatures get applied to that petition, before June 19th, then it works through the process and it winds up on the ballot in November for us to vote up or down.
Okay. Right.
So, and it can't be in that process, it can't be amended. It can't be changed. It is what it is right now. Once it's on the books, it's just another law and the legislature can amend it. They can try to repeal it. We expect to have that fight next winter.
One quick take home there is that in 2030, what should listeners know? So there'll be a vote.
There'll be a proposal. And I'm a little spotty on this because this comes up so seldom. I don't think I've been through this myself. I believe somehow the state government has to decide to put it on the ballot. And I believe that's done through the legislature.
Okay.
So the legislature would have to pass a bill and pass it through the whole system to make that proposal happen, and then it will appear on the ballot in the next general election.
Okay.
So that would be happening
in the
2029 legislature.
Okay.
Right.
But the thing is, what if we don't want to change our constitution? Does it still get put on the ballot?
Well,
we vote no.
then if it is on the ballot, our choice is to vote yes, we want to have a constitutional amendment and open Pandora's box, or no, our Constitution is perfectly good because it's studied around the world as the exemplary example of how free people remain free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't dwell too much on that. If it does come, right now it's just talk.
Yeah.
And it really depends on who's in the legislature then. And if as a hypothetical, the Montana plan were to pass, get voted on and pass in November, it's the law of the land on January 1st and 2027.
Right.
So it will affect the next election after that, which would be the presidential election.
Huge.
It'll be in effect.
Yeah.
And everything will change because we will have, the noise will be turned off.
Yeah.
We will still have campaigning going on. There will still be mailers in your box and commercials on your TV screen, but at 1/10 of the level that we have now.
Yeah.
Because that's how much has been turned up, by a factor of 10 in the last 15 years since Citizens United. So let's get back to that, how Citizens United happened and how it happened in Montana. So people believe, widespread belief, Monica, I hear this all the time, people believe that the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court granted free speech powers free speech rights to corporations. Very common belief, not true. That's not what it says. It's very narrow ruling about how states might control corporate donations to political action committees. And I'm going to tell you what the decision says. I know because I've read it, and you're not going to believe it because it's mind-blowing what they said. And then I'm going to tell you how we're going to get around it. So what the Supreme Court Citizens United decision says is that in the case where a state is regulating how much money a corporation might give to a political action committee, if they are making that determination based on the possibility of quid pro quo corruption, something for something corruption, then they can't regulate that because that kind of donation cannot create corruption. I see you cock your head and say, what? Yes, what they're saying is that corruption doesn't exist. In that case, corruption does not and cannot exist. They just defined it out of existence by a sentence in a decision. It is nuts. Wow. It is completely counter to any kind of common sense.
Yeah, and of course, Citizens United. How could we not want to be Citizens United together?
Well, like that's you said, the name of one of those.
They want it
terms
to be just
that is
know,
a do-good name.
Yeah, do
when
good.
In fact it's all about corporate control.
Wow.
So the decision, the Citizens United, was actually quite narrow, saying that if a state wants to regulate how much money a corporation can give, they cannot do it for the purpose of reducing or controlling corruption because such a donation cannot be corrupt. So they've simply written corruption out. And that applied, that was a federal case. And then in Montana, some of the likely suspects sued to overturn our Corrupt Practices Act as being out of compliance with Citizens United. Our Supreme Court said, oh no, our Corrupt Practices Act is a response directly to quid pro quo corruption, right? That's our history.
Yeah.
That's why it was passed, because
right.
we had blatant, open quid pro quo corruption
right.
in Montana elections. We know it, and it's indisputable. So so our state Supreme Court said that our law is a special case and the Citizens United does not apply. So, of course, it went to the United States Supreme Court. Our Attorney General at the time, Steve Bullock, who became our governor, fought it, argued it all the way to the Supreme Court, laid out the history for the justices, saying, oh, we do have quid pro quo corruption in our state. Don't know about your state, Mr. Justice, but in our state, we do. We know it's there. And so we must have this law to stop that corruption. And they said, oh, no, you're wrong. You can't. You don't have corruption in Montana. So they wrote our law out of the books. So they overturned our Corrupt Practices Act. But again, we were trying, the purpose of that was to control what a corporation might give to a campaign, but it was doing it in statute. And the beauty of the Montana plan is that we go back three steps to first principles and say, oh no, we're gonna write this in the corporate charter. Okay. So there is no question of whether, how much money a corporation may give, because the answer is none.
Yeah.
And
right.
So it makes Citizens United moot. It makes it irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer in play. It's no, that question no longer exists. Because we're, so the way to think about it is, if there's a bunch of money on the table and we're trying to regulate how that money gets distributed, then Citizens United says, no, you can't regulate how that money that's on the table goes. But what we're saying, there's no money on the table.
Yeah, there can't be any money on
the table. So the Montana plan says there's no money on the table. And coming from corporations. So there's no question about whether may or may not give any. So it it just completely sidelines the Citizens United decision. That's why it's so brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's some interesting news as we sit here this Saturday night, May
the
2nd.
We're down here at the KGVM broadcast studios with Brady Wiseman.
Yes.
Talking about the Montana plan in an educational way.
That's
for
right.
You listeners out
there. With breaking news.
Yes.
The Hawaii legislature is two votes away from passing the Montana plan.
Amazing.
It is. And I'm going to bet that you have not heard about that.
No, I haven't.
And I'm going to bet that not a single one of your listeners has heard about that, because you would think, Monica, that if a state legislature is actively overturning Citizens United, that would be national news.
Sure, yeah.
There's a news blackout on this story. It's not anywhere in any national press. It's appeared in a couple of Honolulu papers and Honolulu TV stations. But you'd think the New York Times would be interested.
Yeah.
I don't know why the legislators have decided to do this, but they did. So they've got the language from our law. They've written it into a law in Hawaii.
And not necessarily called the Montana Plan.
Everybody's calling it the Montana Plan. So it's in their parliamentary process, their legislative process. We expect it to be voted out to the governor's desk next week.
Wow.
Which would be stunning.
Yeah.
And we'll see then if any of the national newspapers want to pay attention, or our national TV stations. I just find it very peculiar that the state legislature is destroying Citizens United, and there's not a peep in the media anywhere about it.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here on KGVM Bozeman.
Breaking news.
Thanks to all you listeners and supporters. We are volunteer-powered and bringing you information heard nowhere else.
Yes. So that's the basics of the Montana plan, Monica, that we're altering, we're getting back to basics, we're revising corporate charters, because we, as the state of Montana, have the complete power, authority, to decide what a corporation is, what privileges it may or may not have. Corporations do not have rights, they have privileges. And human beings have rights. And we have powers that come from those rights. So
there we go.
Yeah, but corporations have privileges. And their powers come from privileges enumerated by the state. And we are re-enumerating what those privileges are going to be in Montana, and taking the one that says the privilege to give money to political campaigns is no longer granted.
Right. Unless you're a human.
Yes. Right. So it's very simple. It's profoundly simple and very powerful. People get it right away.
When did you start getting involved, Brady, in
Fair question. So the whole legal theory around this did not come from Montana. It came from a law professor back east, and a advocacy outfit called the Center for American Progress. So the law professor came up with this theory that, you know, all of this stuff about the narrow decisions that the Supreme Court is writing that grant these powers to corporations, they can all be terminated. by going back to corporate charters. So that came from a elderly and very experienced law professor on the East Coast. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
And then it came to Montana through a specific person, a Montanan named Jeff Mangan, who is from Great Falls area. He lives up by Cascade. He was a state senator 20 years ago. I served briefly with him, met him there. And then he was a man of such high integrity and rectitude that then Governor Steve Bullock appointed him to the office of Commissioner of Political Practices. That's the state office in Montana that oversees campaign spending. So okay. they enforce the rules. They collect all the spending reports, file them away, check them out, make corrections, make people do things differently when they are out of compliance. So he became familiar with how all that works. And Jeff became connected with a nationwide organization of people in different states who do that work. And it turns out, here's an obscure government thing for our listeners, every state office has a national organization. So there's a national organization of governors. There's a national organization of lieutenant governors. There's a national organization of state secretaries of state. There's a national organization for speakers of the House of legislatures. So there's one for the people that manage, oversee campaign spending. And Jeff got connected with that. And then, so this white paper describing this concept came to Jeff Mangan. And he jumped out of his chair when he read it because, knowing our history, he said and believed and does believe, and he's right, that Montana is the perfect place to do this. Even though we're blowing people's minds because currently we have a reputation as being this scarlet red state, which is unusual for us and has only changed in the last 15 years. Mm. For 100 years, Montana was what you would call a purple state.
Yeah.
Varied between the two parties back and forth, both the legislature and the governor's office. And we had a long string of senators from the Democratic Party. It's become ruby red in the last 15 years because of Citizens United.
Right.
Because of it took hundreds of millions of dollars of outside spending to make us appear to be ruby red. But Jeff Mangan, the founder of the Montana Plan, knows, as many Montanans know, that's not who we are. That's not our history. We are middle of the road, going way back, and we are definitely have a long tradition in history of fighting government corruption. Mm-hmm. So he said Montana's a perfect place to do this, kicked off the initiative. He's been working on it for over a year. And I'm pretty sure he's still a volunteer to this day. Hmm. Yeah, the whole organization is volunteer.
Awesome.
All the people out there collecting signatures are volunteers.
Awesome.
Nobody's getting paid to do this work, and which makes it all the more remarkable that we've gotten 20,000 signatures in 7 weeks. I will just admit very clearly, a lot of people this time of year in our political season get petition fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
Because people with clipboards are out there saying, hey, do you want to sign this? Have you heard about this? And people get tired of it. By signing the petition, all you're doing is asking that the question appear on the ballot.
Yeah.
You're not voting for it.
Yeah.
That happens when it's on the ballot
That's
in November.
Huge. Yeah.
So all you're doing is saying, yes, we should discuss this.
I want it to be a choice. I want it to be part of people's dialogue and part of this campaign
conversation. We believe that given our history that if we get it on the ballot, it will pass because we've done this in the past. Going back, rewinding back on the history, 1912, we had the Corrupt Practices Act passed overwhelmingly. Then we had to fight corruption again with the 1972 Constitutional Convention, which straightened out a lot of stuff. And then forward another 40 years in the 90s, we had two ballot initiatives to trim down and control spending on campaign finances. To this day, people running for state offices are running under very tight limits as to how much money people can contribute to them, and they have to report all of it. And that is because of a ballot initiative that ran in 1994. And we had another one in 96 that said that very clearly that corporations could not contribute to ballot issues, not just elected office campaigns, but ballot. They're two separate things in the law. So we have this long tradition. So the 90s now were 30 years ago. So it's like every 30, 50 years, we have to do something in this state to fight the corruption. And our time has come up.
Now's time. Now it's a perfect time.
We believe it is.
Yeah.
So many people are angry. So many people are distrustful, frustrated, and just bewildered about, how crazy our national politics is and why life just seems to be getting harder and harder. And that's particularly true for young people. Interesting thing about the Montana campaign is that a great big majority of the people who are working on it are baby boomers.
Yeah.
And part of that is that many of us are retired and we have the time that we can contribute to this.
Oh,
but the real reason is we remember.
Yeah, right.
When things were more equal. That was our youth. We remember when life didn't seem as hard as it is now financially. And these are people whose kids and grandkids are struggling and way harder than we did at their age. And so that's one of the heartening things about this is that it is the elders of this state that are carrying these petitions because we know, we remember, and we want it back.
Yeah, back when a family could get by on a single income of one of the parents, right?
And that was real.
Yeah.
That was my childhood.
Yeah.
I mean, my mother chose to work, but in the 60s and 70s, that was very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Most mothers were housewives. And those days went by the wayside, and I don't know that we'll get them back, but we need to be able to change the rules about a lot of different things to make things more fair. And I believe that all of that starts with our elections. And we can't get to change the rules until we can elect people who will change the rules. And that means we have to, right now, the people that are choosing who gets elected are the people who can write the checks and launder the money these corporations. That's what dark money is. It's laundered. It's billionaire money.
Yeah.
So
they've washed their hands.
Yeah, we don't know who's buying these politicians. We can see when they appear to act bought. And that's more often than not, especially the higher you go up the ladder, the worse it is. So our representation in Congress, many, many people feel is not representing us on many different issues. And we can't change that until we can change the very basic rules of how election campaigns work. And that's what the Montana plan is all about. Get the money out of the elections, the money that's dividing us, the hundreds of millions of dollars now that's getting spent in every big election in our state. We're gonna tone that down by a factor of 10, turn down the noise, and we get to talk to each other again and decide how we want to solve our problems rather than have millions of dollars spent to get us to point fingers in each other's chests and say, you, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Too many campaigns are swayed towards attacking your opponent.
That's all it is.
Instead of proposing
solutions. Okay.
This has been KGVM Community Radio. I'm Monica from the Eclectic Elevator Evening Show. And we've just heard from Brady Wiseman. Thanks so much for coming down.
You're very welcome.
You can find this segment archived on our website at kgvm.org.